Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Raleigh leaders are hammering out details on how taxpayer dollars will be spent for PNC improvements. We'll break down the numbers. Plus,
people are found in houses in a huddle holding each other because the fire surrounded their homes before they could even get out.
Heartbreak in Hawaii. The death toll continues to rise in the aftermath of wildfires. How local volunteers are stepping in to help.
And it's on the comfortable side right now. You can see folks out playing golf here in Southern Pines, but it's likely to be much hotter over the weekend. I'll show you how hot it will feel and when we could see a heat advisory.
And good afternoon. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. New at noon, PNC Arena is on track to receive the money it needs for its renovation project. It is part of Raleigh and Wake County's manager's recommendations on how to spend revenue from the growing hospitality tax. WRAL's Destiny Patterson spoke with leaders after a closed-door meeting and joins us live with the breakdown now this noon. Destiny.
A private stakeholders meeting was held inside of these doors earlier this morning. I was not allowed inside, but the presentation was posted on the county website. In it, it lays out about $21 million annually for PNC Arena, a venue space that its Centennial Authority Board says is due for upgrades. That money paves the way for its $300 million renovation project and in turn a long-term deal with the hurricanes and development around the arena. That money comes from taxes collected on hotel stays and food and beverage in Raleigh and Wake County.
This is the beginning of a pretty cool effort to make this a destination, more so than it is even today, but that will also benefit NC State, the community at large, as well as anybody that wants to go to a show or the Monster Truck Rally or Disney on Ice, that in 5 to 10 years, that experience will be even greater.
The Cary Indoor Sports Facility was also recommended about $75 million. About $387 million was recommended for the Raleigh Music relocation for the venue and convention center expansion. Now, it's important to note that these numbers are not final. They're just a recommendation at this point. We'll need to get the final approval from the Raleigh City Council and the Wake County Commission.
That is progress. Destiny Patterson live in Raleigh for us this noon. Destiny, thanks.
We're following some breaking news this noon hour here in the WRAL Live Center. Fire investigators are trying to find the cause of a deadly house fire in the Outer Banks. Take a look at new video into our newsroom at the time the fire was raging. Here's what we know. Three people died in this fire. Three others were injured and are now being treated at a hospital nearby. The fire broke out around 2:30 this morning at a home in the 1800 block of North Virginia Dare Trail. Now, by the time firefighters arrived on that scene, you can see that house was fully engulfed in flames. Now, a nearby home also sustained some minor damage. No word yet on how this all started. And by the way, the folks in that other house, they were not hurt. Now, this is, of course, a developing story. We're working to find out how this fire started, the identity of the people who died, as well as the folks who were injured. Any new information coming into a newsroom, we'll, of course, update you here in the WRAL Live Center.
That's just devastating. Thanks, Ken. And now to Hawaii, where the death toll from the wildfires are now blamed for 55 deaths. Officials are calling it the largest natural disaster Hawaii has ever experienced. The fires are mostly contained, but rebuilding could take years. Miguel M. Almaguer is in Maui, where crews are still battling at least three fires.
On the island streets where residents made harrowing escapes through raging walls of fire,
just go out!
So many others did not. This wildfire, now the second deadliest in modern U.S. history.
I do not know what the final number is going to be, and it's going to be horrible and tragic. It's a community, and so the amount of loss is incredible.
In this skeletal and now desolate landscape, without power, internet, or even radio coverage, officials say they have no way to determine how many are still missing. Authorities say hundreds of homes have been lost, a growing tally that's personal for families like Patrick Sullivan's.
How do you describe the emotions that you're feeling right now?
Well, right here, it's pretty tough. But we'll be okay.
From the air and on the ground, the National Guard is helping crews battle at least three wildfires still burning on Maui. The hardest hit areas still impossible to access. Kimo Kirkman grieving the loss of his home and his father's ashes.
And I found some of these old pictures and I said, well, I should take a picture of it. And I'm so thankful I did because this is the only thing I have now.
Even boats in Lahaina Harbor were consumed by the inferno.
As the fire came across this area, victims say they were running as fast as the flames. Many jumped right into this harbor to save their lives.
While the ocean provided an escape route for some.
If anybody's still out here, it's time to go! It's time to go!
Not all who reached the shore survived. Residents say they found bodies floating in the water. Caught with almost no warning, others perished in their homes or were trapped in vehicles. An entire community surrounded by loss, with one sign of historic hope. The town's famous banyan tree is the only landmark left standing.
That was Miguel Almaguer reporting. The American Red Cross of NC is sending six disaster responders to provide aid to locals and tourists in need. A spokesman with the organization says the greatest need is helping those who have been displaced. People are packing airports, sleeping there, or in rental cars awaiting the next flight. Disaster responders from the Red Cross of North Carolina plan to provide shelter, hand out food and water, and assess damage along the way.
I can't stress how important it is. I mean, we're sending people from North Carolina over there and across the country. The citizens there of the local towns and everybody that is living there are really reaching out. You know, our phones are ringing off the hook and we're really here to help.
The local team will stay in Hawaii for at least 3 weeks. You can donate to the Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund by visiting redcross.org or texting the word Red Cross to 90999.
Heat returns for the weekend. Our heat index will be into the triple digits Saturday and Sunday. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now with a look at when we could go under that heat advisory.
You're going to need to be careful as we get into the weekend, especially on Sunday. We could see our heat index up around 105 and possibly a heat advisory. Right now, of course, we're looking out to hear from the Point Restaurant at Lake Gaston. This is a lovely place to be for this afternoon. But even out on the water, you'll want to be careful, you know, midday into the latter part of the afternoon. 86 is our current temperature, but our dew point has dropped down to 66, and that makes it feel a bit more comfortable today. But we'll start to see this number climbing over the weekend, and that will make the temperature feel a lot hotter. We're still looking at a high of 92 this afternoon, so it is going to be a warm day, but we're sitting right here kind of on the low end of steamy. We may see this number drop down to the tolerable level as we get through the afternoon, but it's still going to be hot. We take a look at the temperature versus the heat index right now. It's 88 in Fayetteville, but feels like 90. We're not seeing a big difference because our dew point is nice and low. So it's 86 in Durham and Raleigh feeling like 88. It's 86 in Southern Pines feeling like 88. What will happen this weekend when we add so much more moisture into the atmosphere is it might be 90 degrees but feel like 100. We're looking at our fairly normal day today. Watch what happens as we get into Sunday and Monday. You can see the yellow and orange color contours starting to darken up, and that shows us where temperatures are above normal. So here's our weekend plan. We're looking at 95 on Saturday and 97 on Sunday. On Saturday, we'll easily see a heat index up to around 100. It could be 105 on Sunday and possibly even 107 on Monday. We're also looking at the chance for some storms. Most of Sunday stays dry, but we'll talk about Sunday night and Monday's chances coming up.
Today marks 1 year since Wake County Sheriff's Deputy Ned Byrd was shot and killed in southeastern Wake County. The sheriff's office honored him in a private ceremony this morning. Byrd stopped to investigate a truck on the side of Battle Bridge Road August 11th of last year. He was shot four times. Brothers Arturo and Aldermarine Sotelo are charged with his murder and are awaiting trial. You can honor Deputy Byrd during a free Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and self-defense seminar tomorrow. It's happening from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at PNC Arena. Byrd practiced Jiu-Jitsu and several of the instructors who trained with him will be there. On Sunday, you can join the second annual Ned Byrd Memorial Triathlon. It starts at 9 a.m. at the Iron District CrossFit in Raleigh. It includes CrossFit, Jiu-Jitsu, and mountain biking.
Happening now in the WREL Live Center, this Duke University professor who played a role in the international coverage of the Titanic submersible tragedy says the university discriminated against her. That's Dr. Rachel Lance. She's an expert on how the human body responds to extreme situations, specifically underwater at high altitudes and in implosions. She says the school retaliated against her after she complained about a pay dispute that she feels was based on her gender. In the suit, Lance claims Duke retaliated in four ways, including trying to demote her. Now, we have a crew working this story, trying to get some information from Duke and, of course, a response from Duke University. Look for new reporting on this story starting at 4 right here on WREL.
Former President Donald Trump has a right to free speech, but that right is not absolute. That's the word from U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan. Attorneys from both sides appeared in federal court this morning in the first hearing before Chutkan over the 2020 election. The judge signaled that she will put serious limits over how sensitive evidence is handled. Yesterday, special counsel Jack Smith said he wants the trial to begin January 2nd, 2024. That would be just days before the Iowa caucuses. Smith's office says the trial would take 4 to 6 weeks, which would take Trump off the campaign trail in critical early weeks of Republican primary voting. Trump's team has until next week to give the court its preferred start date for the trial.
An honor for a local legend, the late, great Jim Valvano, is being posthumously inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. The ceremony will be held in Springfield, Massachusetts. Valvano was a co-captain and second all-time leading scorer in Rutgers college history as a player, but after his playing career, he came here. Valvano led the NC State Wolfpack to victory in the 1983 NCAA championship. He's also known for his work in cancer research through the establishment of the V Foundation. WRAL's Casey Hintz will have live coverage starting today on WRAL. Carolina Panthers kick off the preseason tomorrow in Charlotte against the New York Jets. You can watch that tomorrow, 4 o'clock, live from Bank of America Stadium on WRAL. And Chris Lee will be there to cover the game. He'll have reports after the final whistle.
Next at noon, 50 years of hip-hop in Raleigh. We'll talk to organizers about a big event in the capital city this weekend.
Also, what can Brown do for you? Pay you a lot to drive their trucks. We'll tell you how much UPS drivers will make under a new deal.
Plus, a suspended Florida state attorney has filed for re-election. Coming up at 12:30, why it's unlikely she'll be reinstated.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
The City of Raleigh Museum is helping to celebrate 50 years of hip-hop music to honor those who have shaped Raleigh hip-hop to be what it is today. Tomorrow, the city will host several events in downtown to educate and be festive and honor those who paved the way in North Carolina. The cultural impact of hip-hop on Raleigh, understanding ourselves by looking back. Welcome, Grady Bussey, DJ Skills. Thank you guys for joining us so much. Hey, Grady, tell us about the museum and how you cultivate history there.
Well, you know, the city of Raleigh has been very serious about figuring out new ways to engage our community. And there is no better way to do that by learning and telling the stories of our history. And so this weekend, we've put together multiple events that will celebrate 50 years of hip hop. We are having our honorees, and we're looking forward to making an impact and letting people know that Raleigh truly loves hip hop music.
DJ Skills, tell us how you got started as a DJ.
Man, my hip hop influence started in Florence, South Carolina. That's where I'm from. Imitating Turbo and Ozone from the movie Breaking to actually touching some turntables with my cousins, DJ Said and Mark L. Vincent, and after that, it was no turning back.
Well, we heard Grady talk about being one of the honorees for the City of Raleigh Museum, 50 years of hip hop. That puts you in that category. What does it mean to you?
It's a great feeling. You know, I came to Raleigh back in 99 when I attended St. Aug. That was my first introduction to Raleigh. And ever since then, I embraced Raleigh like a second home. And you know, to me, being from South Carolina, Raleigh had his own hip hop route. So to look back now from where I came from to be a part of this event is a great feeling.
Grady, why does the city think it's important to understand ourselves by looking back?
Well, you know, again, the city realizes that we are a place that has great stories to tell. And the history of hip hop music has so many complex storylines here locally that we wanted to make sure we told the story, create new ways for us to engage our community, and put us on a whole new map. You know, we may not be known for the international place for hip hop, but we are a place for community engagement. So we're looking forward to celebrating folks this weekend.
Tell us about the event this weekend.
We have a lineup from the symposium in the morning to our block party in the afternoon right here on Fayetteville Street to our sneaker ball at Raleigh Union Station. It's going to be extraordinary. You need to go ahead and get your tickets to the for the sneaker ball. We're just about full. So go to our website at friendsofthecityofraleighmuseum.org. Get your ticket, and because we're about to sell out.
All right, that's good warning. DJ Skills, you're in your element right now. You're in the studio. Play us something, would you, as I give some more information about this?
Let's do it.
Oh, that is so good. The celebration begins tomorrow, 9:30 at the City of Raleigh Museum, and then continues on Fayetteville Street with a free family-friendly event from noon until 4. And don't miss the hip-hop sneaker ball at 6 at Raleigh's Union Station. Grady, thank you so much. DJ Skills, way to go, man. Good stuff. Thank you both for sharing. Good luck with tomorrow's event.
All right. Thank you, guys.
There's sky watching, reptiles, and more to see for family fun in the Triangle this weekend. Here's a look at some of WREL Out and About's best bets. Look to the sky tomorrow night at Dick's Park. There will be a viewing party for the Perseid meteor shower. It's all happening from 9 to 11 p.m. at the big field at Dick's Park. Admission is free. And reptile fans will want to visit the North Carolina State Fairgrounds this weekend. That's for Repticon. The exotic animal show will include hundreds of vendors and animals. Tickets start at $10 for adults and $6 for children. Also on Saturday, the monthly Geek and Grub Market will be at Fred Fletcher Park in Raleigh. It's happening from 6 to 10. You can shop from a variety of retro vendors and enjoy some games and more fun. This month's theme is anime. Admission is free. And to find out more about these events and others, you can go to WREL.com and search Out and About.
And bring some water, find some shade. It's going to be hot.
Very, very hot. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has been tracking these scorching temperatures for this weekend. We're climbing up there right now, too, Elizabeth.
Yeah, what's keeping it from just feeling, you know, terrible outside is that our dew point is sitting in the mid-60s. If we could get it down into the 50s, it would really feel nice. But, hey, we'll take mid-60s. It really starts to feel uncomfortable when it gets into the 70s. Right now, it's 86 degrees. Lots of sunshine out there. Plenty of people out and about. The one thing that will help you stay cool, and this seems intuitive, but find a spot in the shade. Now, if we have a lot of humidity, sometimes being in the shade doesn't really help, but a day like today when the dew point is lower, you find a shady spot, it actually feels okay. We are likely to see a high of around 92 this afternoon. So we're sitting at steamy. We may in a few hours see that level dropping down to tolerable, but over the weekend, it climbs all the way back up to tropical. Again, here's a look at the heat index versus the temperature. It's 85 in Goldsboro, but feels like 90. 85 in Clinton, but feels like 90. But in Southern Pines, it's 86, feeling like 88. Because our dew point isn't too high, we don't have a huge heat index. Now, tomorrow, when our dew point goes back into the 70s, it will likely be 86, feeling like 93 or 95, and that will eventually put us up to around 100. All right, we have a special report from NBC coming up. I'll send it back to you guys.
Good day, Lester Holt in New York. Breaking news right now. Attorney General Merrick Garland beginning to speak now. What we're told is an important statement. Let's take you right now to the Department of Justice.
Attorney for the District of Delaware. Mr. Weiss had been a career prosecutor, having served previously in the office for more than a decade. Beginning in 2019, Mr. Weiss, in his capacity as U.S. Attorney and along with federal law enforcement partners, began investigating allegations of certain criminal conduct by, among others, Robert Hunter Biden. That investigation has been recently referenced in federal criminal proceedings in the District of Delaware, and as noted in those proceedings, and other public statements by Mr. Weiss's office, that investigation remains ongoing. In February 2021, U.S. Attorney Weiss was asked to remain as U.S. Attorney for the District of Delaware and, in that capacity, to continue to lead the investigation. As I said before, Mr. Weiss would be permitted to continue his investigation, take any investigative steps he wanted, and make the decision whether to prosecute in any district. Mr. Weiss has told Congress that he has been granted ultimate authority over this matter, including the responsibility for deciding where, when, and whether to file charges, and for making decisions necessary to preserve the integrity of any prosecution consistent with federal law, the principles of federal prosecution, and departmental policies. In a July 2023 letter to Congress, Mr. Weiss said that he had not to that point requested special counsel designation. On Tuesday of this week, Mr. Weiss advised me that in his judgment, his investigation had reached a stage at which he should continue his work as a special counsel, and he asked to be so appointed. Upon considering his request, as well as the extraordinary circumstances relating to this matter, I have concluded that it is in the public interest to appoint him as special counsel. This appointment confirms my commitment to provide Mr. Weiss all the resources he requests. It also reaffirms that Mr. Weiss has the authority he needs to conduct a thorough investigation and to continue to take the steps he deems appropriate independently, based only on the facts and the law. Mr. Weiss will also continue to serve as U.S. Attorney for the District of Delaware. As special counsel, he will continue to have the authority and responsibility that he has previously exercised to oversee the investigation and decide where, when, and whether to file charges. The special counsel will not be subject to the day-to-day supervision of any official of the department, but he must comply with the regulations, procedures, and policies of the department. Consistent with the special counsel regulations, at the conclusion of Mr. Weiss's work, he will provide me with a report explaining the prosecution or declination decisions reached by him. As with each special counsel who has served since I have taken office, I am committed to making as much of his report public as possible, consistent with legal requirements and department policy. Today's announcement affords the prosecutors, agents, and analysts working on this matter the ability to proceed with their work expeditiously and to make decisions indisputably guided only by the facts and the law. The men and women undertaking this investigation are public servants who have dedicated their careers to protecting the citizens of this country. The appointment of Mr. Weiss reinforces for the American people the department's commitment to both independence and accountability in particularly sensitive matters. I am confident that Mr. Weiss will carry out his responsibility in an even-handed and urgent manner and in accordance with the highest traditions of this department. Thank you.
If you as Attorney Weiss had the authorities he needed, why does he need to be a
Attorney General Merrick Garland concluding that brief statement, the headline, David Weiss, who has been leading the Hunter Biden investigation, has asked and received permission to become a special counsel, essentially appointed a special counsel status, giving him apparently more latitude to conduct an independent investigation of the president's son. You'll recall there was a recent plea deal between the prosecution and Mr. Biden that would would essentially hold him liable for two misdemeanor counts related to the payment of taxes or failure to pay taxes. And it also opened up a pathway for a guns charge, a gun weapon charge, to be reduced or eliminated against him. Let's go to NBC News senior White House correspondent Kelly O'Donnell. Kelly, what's the distinction here between what he has been doing as U.S. Attorney from Delaware and what he will now do as a special counsel?
Well, for a long time, Lester, Merrick Garland had tried to communicate publicly that David Weiss had full authority in all matters to pursue this. And the administration has certainly wanted to point out he was a Trump appointee to that role as the U.S. attorney in Delaware and would continue that work. We are now in a time where special counsel is taking on even more importance, and it is about acting fully independently from the attorney general. So a president's son being under investigation needs separation from the administration. President Biden has often said he has never discussed these matters with Merrick Garland or the matters involving former President Trump and a separate special counsel. Mr. Biden himself is also under a special counsel related to the classified documents stemming from his time as vice president and even his Senate period, and that investigation goes on. So we have several special counsels at work. This can be seen in a political context where the pressure coming from House Republicans through their investigation on the House Oversight Committee has been pressuring every data point related to Hunter Biden, his foreign business dealings, and any relationship to his father at the time he was vice president and now as the sitting president. Certainly, having a special counsel levels the playing field so that former President Trump, who's being investigated in many matters by special counsel, the current president, and now extending to his family and all of the things that could be connected there. Among the things that we don't know is how far beyond Hunter Biden, if at all, would this extend. When the plea deal you alluded to that fell apart in court, an astounding set of circumstances there, there appeared to be disagreement between Hunter Biden's counsel and the government about whether there was ongoing investigation. Often when a plea matter comes to court, the person who is the subject of that wants to end any further prosecution. That typically is what happens when a plea is reached. And as you pointed out, it was on misdemeanor tax charges and then a separate gun offense. And if Hunter Biden were to not have any additional trouble, that gun offense could, in a sense, be expunged. And there was an expectation there would not be jail time. All of that is on hold. And now, with this new designation, it's hard to see the distinction because Merrick Garland had said David Weiss had the full power and authority. So now David Weiss is operating in a separate lane, no need to contact the Department of Justice for his work. He is his own universe on this matter, and he retains the job he was originally appointed to as U.S. Attorney of Delaware. There will be legal implications, Lester. There will be enormous political implications. I'd been anxious to get a reaction from the White House for you. I'm glancing at my phone. I don't yet have that. As soon as we do, we'll come right back to you.
All right, and we'll ask you to stand by.
Kelly O'Donnell right there with Lester Holden and NBC News special report where Attorney General Merrick Garland has appointed a special counsel to investigate Hunter Biden, and it'll be led by David Weiss, the Attorney General in the state of Delaware.
Yeah, we'll have more on that coming up in the next half hour, as well as the latest PPI report, the producer price index report that came out earlier today. We'll be right back.
We continue to follow breaking news here in the WRAL Live Center. Just minutes ago, you saw here in WRAL Attorney General Merrick Garland announcing that he's appointing a special counsel to investigate Hunter Biden. That special counsel is U.S. Attorney David Weiss. He will continue his ongoing investigation of the president's son. Now, this comes after a judge recently called into question a plea deal that Hunter Biden made with prosecutors. The charges against him, including failing to pay taxes in Wilmington, Delaware, as well as a gun charge. Now, Weiss is a Trump appointee. His appointment today comes on the same day the judge in the recent case against President Trump imposes some strict restrictions on him on what the president can say publicly about any evidence that he receives from the Justice Department in that case. Attorney General Merrick Garland says that Weiss requested this appointment, and Garland says, in his opinion, it was in the best interest of the public. We'll have more on this story starting today at 4 on WRAL and, of course, on NBC Nightly News tonight.
All right. Thank you, Ken. School supplies are essential in getting ready for going back to school. And today, the Durham Rescue Mission is helping families needing a little extra help by giving away school supplies for its annual back to school party. WRAL's Kelsey Coffey shows us how this event sets students up for success.
The Durham Rescue Mission will be packed with children and families who were in need during this back-to-school season. Volunteers showed up before 4 o'clock this morning to prepare for hundreds of students. The students who come to today's event will receive a free backpack full of every school supply you can imagine, pencils, papers, pens, and notebooks. They will also get a $25 gift card to the Rescue Mission's thrift store for back-to-school clothes.
You can see the effects of what you're doing, right? You know, I'm here, I'm working, I can see the kids being happy. What else wouldn't I be happy about with that?
The president and CEO of the Durham Rescue Mission, Rob Tart, says the number of children who come to their giveaway has increased each year since COVID.
It's hard to fill up a tank of gas right now and go to the grocery store. And then your kid needs all these things for school. This is only going to help those single moms and single parents that are out there that are struggling.
So if you or someone you love has a child that's in need and needs some school supplies, you can come here today starting at 10 o'clock this morning. This isn't just a giveaway. It's a party. It's all about these students having fun. They've got games, activities, and a whole lot of barbecue. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Durham.
Nearly 500,000 North Carolina students have missed so much school they are considered chronically absent. Research from Stanford University and the Associated Press shows about 1 in 3 North Carolina students missed about 10% of the days in the 2021-22 school year. That's more than twice what it was before the pandemic. WRL Education Insider Emily Wankenhorst reports physical and mental illnesses are among the reasons. Housing instability is also a concern.
Students who miss this much school can fall behind in 1 year, and that can just spiral out of control. You know, if you know you aren't doing well academically, maybe that puts a damper on your enthusiasm for school and just creates more challenges down the road.
Students who are chronically absent are often more likely to fall behind in their peers in class and even drop out of school. The research finds even students who want to go to school are sometimes hit with lots of absences due to transportation issues like the bus driver shortage. For a full breakdown, you can visit education section of WRL.com. And the traditional school year begins in just a few weeks for thousands of kids in the Triangle. Time is ticking down for those districts to find a fix for the bus driver shortages. In Durham, they only have a handful of drivers for the upcoming school year. But the district says that number is in flux and they are always hiring. In Wake County, they have had to reduce the number of routes because they don't have enough drivers. The nationwide shortage has been a problem since the pandemic.
The new producer price index report shows wholesale prices rose more than expected in July. The PPI report gauges the cost that goods and services producers receive for their products versus what we pay. And joining us to help us understand the report is Professor Campbell Harvey from the Fuqua School of Business at Duke University. Professor, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Glad to be on the show.
So tell us, what is the main takeaway of this report? What did you get out of this?
So I think you need to look at the bigger picture here. So the number was like 0.3%. But if you look at the producer price index for year to date, it's flat, like zero. If you look at it over the past year, it is 0.8% year over year. So less than 1%. And this is really important because, as you said, this is a leading indicator of the inflation that we face. So we might go to a store and buy some chicken, and that is what goes into the CPI. But the producer price index is the farmer that's actually raising the chicken. He's got to pay for certain things like feed. And this is what the producer price index actually measures. It's a leading indicator, and it is low. And this is good news for future CPI inflation, the inflation that we actually bear.
And the PPI report actually paints a different picture from yesterday's consumer price index report, correct?
So, again, the number was a little above expected, and I don't really think it's a big deal because the PPI is running well below the CPI. The CPI is running at 3.2% on an annualized basis, and 90% of the CPI, and this isn't picked up very much in the media, 90% is due to shelter costs. So 90%. And those costs are coming down. So that bodes very well for future inflation coming into the 2% range. And the PPI, given it's running at less than 1% on an annualized basis, that also bodes well for lower inflation in the future. All of the focus is, oh, well, it was a little above what we expected. No, you need to look at the bigger picture here. Inflation is coming down.
All right, Professor Campbell Harvey, thank you for your perspective. We appreciate your time this afternoon.
Thank you.
Police are investigating two shootings early this morning in a Goldsboro neighborhood. Police spent nearly 6 hours gathering evidence at the scene on Rockefeller Court. Travion Lewis was found shot in his car and later taken to the hospital by EMS. Officers located a second shooting victim, Quentin Jackson, after he drove himself to the hospital. Authorities say both are in serious but stable condition and no word on a motive yet. Well, forget the gym. You can get fit in the metaverse. What one company is doing that requires no equipment. A Florida state attorney suspended by Governor Ron DeSantis Wednesday has filed for re-election. Monique Worrell was ousted for what DeSantis called neglect of duty and incompetence, accusing her of pursuing lenient sentences and declining to prosecute certain charges. The state Senate can reinstate Worrell, but Republicans closely aligned with DeSantis control the chamber.
The common theme here is that he is a weak authoritarian and that he is using his power to retaliate against areas in this state that did not support him in the election.
This is the second time DeSantis has removed an elected prosecutor. Last year, he removed Tampa's prosecutor Andrew Warren. Democrats have accused DeSantis of abusing his power for political gain.
Thousands of migrants in New York City's emergency shelter system will have 60 days to find housing. Single adult migrants living in the facilities will have 2 months to find housing before the city forces them to vacate. The city is struggling to house thousands of migrants that have arrived in the city in record numbers since last spring. New York City's mayor says the emergency shelter will work with migrants to help them connect with family and friends or help them find other housing options. The Grand Canyon is beautiful, but it can be extremely dangerous. Why some scientists are expecting health hazards to increase.
Plus, all remnants of the old Twitter must go. How X plans to get rid of all signs of the little blue bird.
Welcome back. You're looking live at Pinehurst. You're watching WREL News, available on YouTube TV and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device. Get this, full-time UPS drivers will soon earn an average of $170,000 a year. A new five-year contract agreement being negotiated by the Teamsters Union that represents the drivers, averting a near strike last month. The $170,000 includes both pay and benefits for full-time drivers. Part-time drivers will make at least $26 an hour and also receive full health care and pension benefits. It also includes changes to working conditions, including air conditioning inside those UPS vehicles.
Credit card and auto loan delinquencies are on the rise, and both have passed the levels where they were before the pandemic. The rate of new credit card delinquencies hit 7.2% last quarter, up from 6.5% in the first quarter. That's according to the New York Federal Reserve. Auto loan delinquencies hit 7.3% last quarter, up from 6.9% the previous quarter. Experts predict both will keep rising into next year and peak between 9 and 10%. People who receive the government supplement for food, SNAP benefits, could soon gain better access to that food. Instacart is now allowing electronic benefits transfer payments for those in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Instacart says it is the first and only online grocery system with SNAP assistance in all 50 states. The online shopping and delivery service will help overcome in-store SNAP shopping stigmas, and families will buy more fruits and vegetables without increasing total grocery bills.
Some 911 call centers are still having a hard time locating people who use modern cell phone technology. Other centers still can't receive pictures or text messages. A recent report found that some 911 call centers still rely on old technology known as legacy systems. It was put into place when payphones and landline use were more common. The system causes problems such as misrouted calls, which could lead to response delays. According to the National Emergency Number Association, about 27 million calls on legacy systems are misrouted per year.
Visiting the Grand Canyon could become more dangerous in the future due to extreme heat. A study revealed the weather could significantly increase the risk of heat-related illness for millions of people who visit the national park. In a scenario of high planet warming pollution, by 2100, there could be up to 254 heat-related illnesses at the park each year. And for perspective, heat is suspected to have killed 16 people at the Grand Canyon since 2007. Across the country and at national parks, suspected heat deaths are on the rise. We are 11 days into this year's Clear the Shelter program now, and hundreds of animals are still looking for homes. We're making it easy for people to donate online to shelters and rescues, possibly find the next furry member of your family. We have the full list of participating shelters on WRL.com/shelters. And be sure to tune in today at 4 and 5:30. We'll take you live inside the Chatham County Sheriff's Animal Resource Center for a look at their furry friends ready to find their forever homes.
Adopt, don't shop.
Yeah, do what
right?
you can.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, we got to get over to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner. If you're taking your furry friends out on a walk today, got to be careful because that pavement can get hot, Elizabeth.
Yeah, temperatures are going to climb into the low 90s for this afternoon. We are looking at a little bit of cloud cover out there, mostly just some hazy sunshine. Goldsboro, Fayetteville there with our newsroom, Apex here, Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. Looking at 92 for the high this afternoon, and Raleigh, 91 in Durham, and 93 in Fayetteville. But of course, we talked about at the beginning of the newscast, our dew point is a little on the lower side, so it doesn't feel as oppressive as it could, as it will over the weekend. So it should make a nice evening for heading out. Durham Bulls game tonight, 6:35. Temperatures should be in the upper 80s, and we'll fall into the low 80s by around 8 o'clock, and we should be rain-free. Tomorrow, the heat index will begin to climb a little bit, so it's going to be pretty hot for the Jets game at the Panthers. At 4 o'clock, 91. At 6 o'clock, still 90, so we don't see a big drop in our temperature typically that time of day, but it does look like it's going to be a dry day Saturday, for what that's worth. Take your misters along with you, something to keep you cool. We have high heat in our forecast for the weekend. This afternoon, it'll feel like mid-90s, but it'll feel like 100 Saturday, 105 on Sunday, and 107 on Monday. So Sunday and Monday's temperatures would put us up at a heat advisory if we end up seeing temperatures that hot. Sunday, we may not get that hot. We do have some thunderstorms in our forecast. Right now, it looks like they'll be fairly late in the day, but if they arrive a little earlier, it could keep our temperatures a little bit cooler. And Monday, we'll have a chance of some storms as well. Here's a look at the big picture. We have a few scattered thunderstorms that are down here into South Carolina. Some of that may drift on up into our southern counties by late this evening. We'll take a look here, push it on out to around 5 o'clock. You can see some cloud cover out there for us this afternoon. And then late, we have some storms that roll through, or at least some showers. You can see at 8 o'clock there in Southern Pines, that stretches over into parts of Harnett and Cumberland and possibly Sampson counties as we get through the evening. And then once we get a couple of hours after sunset, it should all die out. So not much chance of showers and thunderstorms in the triangle, just in our southwest counties. A 30% chance of storms on Sunday, but that'll be late in the day, and a 50% chance on Monday. The Perseid meteor shower peaks tomorrow night. Now, you could see meteors, you know, anytime several days before or several days after Saturday, but that's just when you'll have the best chance of seeing them. We should have fairly clear skies on Saturday night. Temperatures will be very pleasant in the mid-70s. This is one of the most active meteor showers of the year, so it should be great viewing. There'll just be a little sliver of a moon. A lot of bright light in the sky, like the moon, keeps you from seeing a lot of the meteors, but this time it should be great. So get out and enjoy that if that's your thing. There is a viewing party at Dix Park in the Big Field from, I think it's from 9 to 11 on Saturday night. Of course, we're looking at hot conditions through Monday, but once that front moves through, our temperatures will be closer to normal with highs in the low 90s. We'll be back with your top stories.
As we wrap things up, we have a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. In the last 30 minutes, U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland announced the Hunter Biden investigation now has a special counsel. The president's son is charged with federal tax and gun charges, and Biden appeared to be on track to accept a plea deal, but the judge asked for more information on the terms of that deal at the last hearing.
And three people died and three others were hurt after a major house fire in the Outer Banks earlier this morning. The Kill Devil Hills Fire Department arrived at the house around 2:30 this morning and was already engulfed in flames. Several fire departments were called to help. The cause is under investigation.
PNC Arena is on track to get the money it needs to fund a $300 million renovation. This morning, a stakeholder committee suggested using the local hospitality taxes to fund the project. It would include the addition of viewing bars for fans, more food options, and infrastructure upgrades to attract more concerts and events. The money would be funneled to PNC in increments over 25 years. Raleigh City Council and Wake County Commissioners must give approval to this plan.
Twitter-branded items must go with a newly rebranded X headquarters. More than 580 items relating to the former brand of the social media site are going to auction. Along with various furniture and appliances in the building, the two-day auction includes the once iconic Bluebird. Bids for each item will begin at $25. The auction begins on September 12th.
One company hopes its new armbands can help you maximize your online workouts by triggering your muscles to feel like they're really lifting weights. UK-based Valkyrie Industries uses gadgets to send electro pulses to the user's biceps and tricep muscles. The intensity of the pulses change depending on how fast and how much force a person uses. The company is looking to develop similar technology for other muscle groups besides the arms.
Our pet of the day is a playful and affectionate guy from the SPCA of Wake County. Wally is a one year and five month old neutered male dog weighing 45 pounds. He's playful, affectionate, and loves chasing toys outside. He would probably love to have a dog friend in his new home. And for more information, you can visit spcawake.org.
NBC News Daily is up next. Get breaking news updates anytime with WRL News app.
Have a great day.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.